You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
And this episode is touted, Hey You Buttface and Other Name Callings. Together, Amy and I are going to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes you might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. But most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaken bones. You know, I think this name calling topic is one that has been on Facebook quite a bit lately because children are, I'm not sure if there's more name calling or just a more awareness of name calling, but I keep thinking in my 36 years being in preschool, I think I've been called every name in the book other than Dan. And I don't know how many times I've been called Buttface in terms of that process. But I think it's amazing how upsetting adults can get in terms of the name-calling component. How about you? Do you have name-callings in your program?
Oh, all the time. I'm not quite certain sometimes what people's real names are. Because, you know, we see it as it's a powerful play for children, to use different names. And sometimes children come in and decide that they're going to be, called something different when they're here. Right now, one of the children has two older sisters. And, you know, the older sisters like to come during the summer. And so I have a number of little girls who really look up to the big kids when they come. So now they have decided that they are going to be those girls' names instead of their own names. So a lot of time, and they talk back and forth and they figure it out. And, you know, they decide that they're this name or that name. And then, you know, there's the butt face or they really have a hard time. They don't like to be called sweetie. Which, you know, so to them, that's an offensive one.
That should bother you, sweetie.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep. They, you know, and it's different and it's, you know, a lot of adults would look at being called a butt face or stinky feet or, you know, whatever name of the day that they're calling each other is going to be. They look at a lot of those ones and, you know, gasp or look at things. But what really upsets them is when somebody calls them sweetie.
So. That's fascinating. I've been called an ant face. I can't figure that one out. and stink pot is, again, one that's often used, like you had indicated. But I did have a six-year-old last year called another child a slut, which I thought was really unusual because I'm thinking, okay, that name I wasn't even aware of until I was probably in high school or college. And here a six-year-old is calling another child a slut in terms of that process. And I'm thinking, okay, some of this is modeling that they've heard or that they watched in terms of the process. And in many cases, they might not even know what that name is that they're calling in terms of a word or words that they're using in terms of that process. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. You know, children absorb so much. And, you know, sometimes when we're trying to force things upon them to learn, it's pruned right away. But the stuff that we really didn't want them to pick up on, oh, they get that right away. And especially if they notice that it has some sort of power. So any sort of word or name calling that they immediately know, you know, has that power. If they're power seeking or if they're in a power play situation, they're going to use it.
And that's, I agree with you totally. And that's why I think maybe the focus should not be on the child who's calling the name, but the person who's receiving the name. Because the person who is giving it, calling you butt face or whatever, has all the power in the world. But what seems to happen is the one that's being called that name breaks down, cries, runs away, yells, teacher, teacher, whatever, and doesn't really know what the other choices are. And so the focus, I think, should be on the child who's being called that name. And that's why I often say to that child, you want to be called that name. Or if not, then what would you like to be called? Gives the child who is being called a name that's not their name a little more power, don't you think so?
Definitely. And, you know, it's, again, giving the children power to work out their own social situations. So rather than just saying, okay, we don't name call, it's like it's giving the child power to choose a name that they want to be called, because we didn't get to choose our names. Our parents chose them for us. And so, you know, when I think about things like nicknames or, you know, any type of name calling that tends to happen, if you're okay with being called that, you know, some of that stuff sticks. And so, some people really like to be called by nicknames or different things. And so I think it's really important that we're not the ones making that decision for the children and allowing them to work it out between each other. And I think when you walk into a program and you hear children calling adults names, in addition to children calling other children names, and you just kind of step back and watch what's going on there, that you're really in a place that everyone is respected and comfortable in that environment. Because if it's not, you know, somebody firing back with right away, that's not my name, or I don't want to be called that. If there's that play going, that power play going back and forth, it really lets you know that it's a, you know, children feel safe in that environment to be able to test those boundaries.
Yeah, I keep thinking when a child calls me butt face, that my typical response is, oh, you've changed my name for today, because normally it's Dan. But again, part of it is you're right, it's your response to, and whether or not people are in agreement to whether or not they want to be called. Because I know of some children who really don't get upset when they're called butt face. Matter of fact, some cases they might like it. But I think, and therefore I just kind of step back and I don't intrude in that process. If the child seems to be upset, then I think part of it is helping the child realize what kind of responsibility they actually can have. And what kind of power and control that they can have in response to somebody calling them that name. And I think part of it is, like you had indicated, is making sure that we allow the children to make those decisions and look at how the practices fit to what it is. I think the problem comes in lately, and I think there was an article just written about this, is when it becomes a racial name. For example, if a child were to say, I don't want to play with you because you're black, then the question becomes, at least for me, is it racial or is it simply noticing differences in terms of that process? And it's not that children cannot distinguish between race or color of skin, because they can. But the question becomes, can they be racist as a young child? What's your thoughts about that?
You know, Dan, I've really been mulling this over and thinking about it a lot, because it has come up in a lot of early childhood groups that I am a part of. And, you know, I think that as adults, we try to add a lot of morality to things with children that just aren't really there. I don't think that for the young children that we work with, that it is anything more than name calling in terms of, And, you know, different people are welcome to different perspectives on this, but I don't see that as anything different than saying no boys or no girls, because again, it's just noticing differences in terms of that. However, because of the situations in our country and things that have been going on between adults and where things are, it's a lot harder for me to determine exactly what I might do in that type of situation.
I totally agree. It's a challenging situation. I have been mulling this over for weeks now. I really do believe that in most cases, it is simply a statement that is reflective of recognizing some differences. It's not necessarily an insult on a particular race or color. Now, having said that, I first of all, I want us to be real careful that we don't turn these issues into moral issues for young children, that we keep it developmental, we pay attention, we carefully observe, and we can ask questions. We can bring stories up in the classroom, but in terms of what we don't want to do is to really make this into an issue that is a moral issue, and it isn't. It could simply be a developmental issue, but I think the key here is to carefully observe and watch what's happening in terms of the process and how much of that occurs in relationship to race and skin color. Don't you think so in terms of that process?
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's such a hard topic, and it's one that I continue to, you know, process in my mind, because where I live, we don't have a lot of diversity in terms of skin color. And so I'm not faced with that issue a lot. And, you know, the children in my care there's not a lot of exposure to people from different places or even people who look a lot different than the children that are here. So I really struggle with some of that and making sure that I'm, you know, understanding a situation that I'm not faced with very often.
Sure, sure. And you know, what I'm thinking, Amy, is that really the focus might not be the child as much as the adults in the child's life. And so, because modeling to me is part of the rituals that create what children say. So if they hear us or watch programs that reflect racism, it could very well be practiced in the classroom. So it doesn't even have to be a parent who says it. It could be a newscast that the child occasionally watches on television and hears a racial slur, could imitate in that classroom or home, and really not know what that means, but has heard it several times and therefore uses it in terms of the process. So I think part of it might be gathering adults together to talk about these issues and to look at how modeling can really impact children in terms of the whole racial consciousness that we have now become more aware of in our country.
Yes. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, I think about it in terms of, you know, racial slurs, but I, you know, it can also be in terms of, you know, the boys versus girls type of thing. It can, you know, it can be so many different things that no matter what we do, the children are going to be exposed to all kinds of different things. And it's trying to figure out how to best articulate what I'm thinking. It's not coming out quite the way I want it to. But the children, you know, when they're exposed to things, anything that they're exposed to, they're going to experiment with it, especially if it seems to, like we were talking before, if it seems to hold some sort of power. So it's a matter of making sure that we are, like you said, modeling, having conversations with other adults and giving them the opportunity to see the types of models that for the values that we want to instill within the children, if that makes
sense. It does. And I think part of it is looking at some of the name calling that occurs with children is simply that. It is name calling for power. And if we keep that in mind, I think it's a little easier to comprehend. We want to really carefully observe, but even for a child to say, I don't want to play with you because you're black or brown or whatever, again, could be just a statement of power again. And again, because they've heard that or they've seen that and recognize the kind of response that using that word gets would certainly be another avenue for power. So I think, again, what we want to do is to take a real careful look at how it is used and whether or not it is used for power and needs to be addressed in that kind of aspect. The other thing is if we're going to model appropriate things, then again, an adult who plays with the child or recognizes that the child is playing with other children is important for that to be looked at. And so if a child says, I don't want to sit next to you, for example, because you stink, because I've heard that with children, I simply say, you don't want to sit next to them right now. Which is the words I want them to hear, not the word stink, essentially. And so, and to me, that's perfectly okay that if a child, not that it's okay for the child to say, I, because you stink, but it's perfectly okay for the child to decide they don't want to sit next to someone. I just don't want us to confuse the developmental issues that are involved with children in terms of their thinking and word process. Does that make any sense?
Yes. And the children are typically, you know, in the now. So it's, you know, it's important to look at, and again, to take off your adult lenses sometimes, because a lot of times we read way more into what is going on than what's, you know, than what's really going on, looking at where, like you said, where the child is developmentally. And, you know, with the example you gave about, you know, a child stinking and that kind of, they don't want to sit next to you right now. It's kind of important too, to touch base with that child when it is something that they could potentially, if the child really does stink, then it's something that you could assist that child with. But when it's something that you can't change, you know, like skin color or being a boy or being a girl, it's important to, you know, not only, you know, allow children to have power and where those things are, but also help that child, you know, find ways to have power and different ways to have power and, you know, make sure that they're inclusive in other ways on their terms later, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think part of it, again, is to make sure that we understand that developmentally children recognize differences. So we got to stop saying that they don't, because they really do recognize. Now, there's different levels of recognition at different ages, but there's definitely recognition that people are different. And to be honest, I want children to recognize that people are different, because that's part of the developmental process. So making a statement that I don't want to play with you right now because you're black could simply be recognizing that that child is different than me, and not have anything to do with the skin color, but could simply be recognition of that difference and therefore made some choices related to that differences. Again, I'm not advocating that children should be allowed to select who they want to play with based on color or race. I'm saying that we have to keep it on a developmental level and perspective from that. The other thing, too, is to, like you pointed out earlier, is to recognize how the child who is receiving this information responds. So if a child is said that I don't want to play with you because you're black, and the child really doesn't want to play with that child anyhow, in terms of the perspective the child is receiving the information, to indicate things, because this is what real troublesome. Some people will say, well, we play with everybody here. Well, that kind of statement really isn't true, nor is it appropriate in most cases, because we don't play. It's like saying all adults have to be friends. It just doesn't make sense in terms of that process. So we want to be really careful that we don't make up statements that really don't fit what really is happening in our experiences with children.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, getting to the looking at the bigger picture of what is going on there and, you know, helping to empower the child who does, you know, who is being excluded for whatever reason is really important.
Yeah, it's just like when I said when the child called the other child a slut, and I don't think anybody wants to be called that, but the child who was receiving that information, I just simply asked that child, do you want to be called a slut? And unfortunately, she didn't ask what that was. but again, you know, she said, no, I don't think I want to be called that. And I said, well, remind him what your name is, because he forgets often. In terms of that process, it keeps it at a developmental level and gives some ownership to the person again, the child again, who's receiving the information.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that sometimes it's always challenging because, you know, you want certain things to I'm losing it. you want certain things to happen within your program, and you want to make sure that you're giving opportunities to all children and empowering. And some of these situations, you know, they do get really sticky, but life is sticky. And so it's just, you know, taking that deep breath and stepping back and looking at the big picture and making sure that you are, you know, assisting the child who is being excluded or having that name calling happen. And empowering the children to work through those situations with assistance when needed. But the more you empower the children from a younger, you know, from younger ages on up, the less and less you're needed throughout that process.
Right. And if I could just add again to repeat that we really want to make sure that because to me, this issue is not a moral issue. It's a developmental issue. So keep it at the developmental level, just like we would do anything else with children. We want to keep it at the developmental level. And as they grow and develop, that's the point at which you can start talking about what might not be good, what might be better to say. But at this level of young children, I think it's important to keep it strictly at the level of comprehension that it is. Well, we're at the end of our show. This is extremely touchy subject. Both Amy and I admit that we're still thinking about it, still cultivating this whole process. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want to continue discussion on this subject, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.